do find in your Bibles, please, Hebrews 12. I read part of it at the beginning, and Anne is close on hand. She's going to come and read.
Starting first of all in Hebrews chapter 12, and beginning at verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they didn't escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we, if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful, and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. And then turning back to Colossians chapter 3, and starting from verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen. So reads God's word. I'm going to change what I said. I'm not going to do the reading. And sorry, musicians and word people, I'm not going to do the song either. I'm going straight to the sermon, which might get me more brownie points for the congregation, because otherwise we will go over time quite a bit. So we're going to move straight to the sermon now. I'm going to save the reading I had and the song for next week, God willing. Try not to catch anyone's eye. It might be upset with me. I'm going to put these away as well, in case they Wilbur staring at you. It's a little bit intense, isn't it, sometimes? That's why he doesn't live on the pillow. Sorry, sometimes he does. Okay, we've come to God's word, and we had a couple of readings, but we're not landing in a Bible passage as such today. So if you've got it open still, that's great. You might want to put it on a chair next to you, or you're happy to hold it. It's quite warm in here, though, isn't it? I got a bit picked up last week about not having a specific passage. Thank you to that member who kept me on track, and I love that. Don't stop doing that. But I'm not going to have a specific reading this week either, because we're in a kind of theme, and you'll see in a moment. And the theme, as we looked at last week, it's about the church. And the question last week is, why is the church so special? That was the theme last week. And we asked the question last week, do we think rightly about the church? Do we see the church as God sees the church? I mean, do we really see each other as people God loves? As people Christ gave himself for on the cross? That's immensely special, isn't it? We thought last week about the importance of being committed to the church. We also sought to be realistic about church life. that church is often slow, it's often unspectacular, it's often messy, but it is worth it. There are some of the things we looked at. We thought about coming to church, yes, to receive, but also to give. Not expecting everything to be as we want it to be. Of course, that's never going to happen anyway, is it? But being careful of those thoughts. We also thought about the problem of thinking that the grass is greener at that other church. It always seems the way, doesn't it? The truth is, the grass is greener where you water it. Where we work hard in our relationship with God and with one another. That is where true life happens, isn't it? The secret to getting a great life is to give yourself away. That's so hard to do, though, isn't it? But it's so true. So we are having a few Sundays on the church based on this book. Okay, so you might recognise some of the things I'm going to say if you've read it already. Love Your Church. If you need a copy, please come and take one after. Here they are, just come and take one. Free, paid for already. It's got a ring to it, hasn't it? But please do take one. Let's pray as we get stuck in this morning. Let's ask God to bless us as we come before his word. Heavenly Father, we praise you that we can now come and listen to your word being taught, specifically listen to what your word says about your church. And we ask, Lord, that whether we have been Christians for many years, or whether we're here this morning and everything's a bit strange and new, pray, Lord, that you, by your Spirit, would speak into our hearts. Let us understand, and let us take in what is being said, and let us love what is being said. We pray this for the glory of your name. Amen. So last time, why we should love the church. It was the kind of Bible teaching on what the church is, if you like. Today, the question is how to love your church. Should be a question mark on there, shouldn't there? If you missed last week, by the way, do let me encourage you to do a bit of a catch-up listen. Because the why you should love your church is the driver of how to love your church. So if you weren't here last week, you might sit here this morning and think, oh, he's being a bit forceful, he's being a bit... Well, do listen to the catch-up, what the church is. And today we come on to how to love the church. So what does it look like to recognise how special the body of Christ is and to be part of it? We are going to get very practical this morning. Okay, it's pretty much all practical thoughts about how we can love our church. I'm going to take us through the process of, like, before church, kind of stuff we might be thinking about doing. During church, here we are right now, stuff we do, why we do it, what we're doing. And then after church, kind of stuff maybe we should be doing after church, once we've finished. When I say church, I mean the gathering, Sunday gathering. So that's the plan this morning. So let's start, of course, with before. Before church, okay, say it's Wednesday, let's say, and you're thinking about church, all right? Because you do on Wednesday, don't you? Some nods would be nice. No, maybe, okay, yeah. You do it, yeah. It's Wednesday, you're thinking about church. Okay, you think, oh, when is it? When is church? Oh, of course, it's Sunday, isn't it? Of course, it's Sunday. We know it's Sunday, and it's Sunday because that is the day the early church met together. It was the day, or because it was the day the Lord rose. So we meet on Sundays, because every Sunday is, in a sense, Resurrection Sunday, isn't it? They gathered in the early church to remember. We gather for the same reason. Because Jesus marked this day out in the week as special. Okay, so it's Sunday. Why bother going to church? Okay, so why go in the diary and say, right, church, underline, circle, bold, highlight, whatever. Why are we going to do that? There's a number of reasons here. Firstly, to celebrate. He's risen. The glory of the risen King is such that we should celebrate. So we gather, you on Wednesday should say, I'm going to go to church because I'm going to give him praise. Because the tomb is empty and the throne is occupied. We have a living Saviour and therefore a living hope. So we go to celebrate. We go to church to grow as well. Okay? Or another way, because we need to. I don't know about you, but by Wednesday, particularly when I was in secular workplace, thank you guys, I'm immensely privileged. I spend most of my week looking at the Bible, so it's great and fairly unique in that. That's wonderful. But by Wednesday, and still true for me now, we get a bit wobbly in our walk, or we can do. We can start forgetting. It's so easy in the world, isn't it? But Sunday's coming, but sometimes it's not coming quickly enough for us. We need the company and the encouragement of the Lord's people. And not only do we need to be encouraged ourselves, so we gather to be encouraged, but we come to encourage each other. That's why we're here. You might think your presence at church this morning is not a big deal. It is a big deal. Your presence, you being here, is an encouragement to other people here. We gather each week for one another because we need to. We gather to prepare for the gathering, don't we? Every Sunday is a foretaste of glory divine. It's an amazing thought. This mini gathering here, there's not many of us compared to the people out there. But what about there? Millions. And we will one day be there. And we will join with the angels and the countless multitude around the throne. And this is a warm-up. It's an every week warm-up for eternity. So if you don't like church, you don't like being with God's people, eternity of that? No, let's not go there now. But this is what we're doing. We are practicing for heaven. We are preparing for heaven. We also come here. Now, it's still Wednesday, okay? So why are you going to come to church? Why are you putting it in your diary? Because you're going to witness through that. You're going to come to church because you're going to be a witness. People are going to see you going to church, or maybe they'll hear that you're busy Sundays. They know you make going to church a priority. What does that say to your neighbour when you go out the same time every Sunday? And they do see, curtains are twitching. Sorry, that might be true for some of you. They see you going out, and they think, oh, yeah, they're a bit strange, aren't they? Well, maybe that's what they first think when they know you go to church. But once they get to know you, and they know you're not strange, what does it say to them? That you go to church every single Sunday without fail. What we need is the church to be the church, isn't it? What's the greatest need in this world? It's not even the vaccine. It's not even world peace. It's certainly not money and more stuff. The greatest need in this world is the gospel. It's the news and the truth of Jesus Christ. Because the greatest enemy is sin. And the greatest horror is eternity outside of God's presence in love and grace. And so the solution is the gospel of grace. That is the solution to this world. So church, we must be the witnessing body we are called to be. We'll have more on this next week. Cities, or a city on a hill, a light for everybody in the room. Ipswich is the room, say. We are a light in Ipswich. We certainly ought to be. And every time you come to church, or someone at work says, oh, Sunday, fancy this, that, and say, actually, I'm going to church. Come with me. We're a light. We're a city. Cannot be missed. Okay, Wednesday moves on. Let's say it's now Friday or Saturday, okay? We're still in the before church bit. You are going to church. But what do you do to get ready? How do you get ready for church? Well, firstly, by reading the passage beforehand, if indeed it's been given out. Yes, sorry about that. Read the passage, if you know it, or the book, and let it simmer. Put it on the burner and let it just work away in your heart and mind. And then also not only read, but pray before you come to church. Pray over the passage. Lord, what are you showing me here? Oh God, that is wonderful. Oh yes, that is true. Oh, that is a sin to avoid. Pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for the church family. Pray for those serving at church that Sunday, the people on the door, the people leading Sunday school, the person at the front, people playing. Pray for those who are involved in a particular way. Read, pray, and thirdly, sleep. Sleep. All the things mentioned so far can't happen if we come to church like zombies. So yeah, if you yawn this morning, I'm sorry. Okay, try and hide it. I won't point you out, promise. But sometimes we cannot help it. And there's a number of us who have problems with sleep, obviously. And that's difficult, isn't it? But in normal circumstances, we ought to prepare for our gathering like we would any important event. So if we've got a big meeting the next day at work, or if we've got a big match the next day, we rest and we prepare, don't we? Same with church. Pray, read, bed, on time, and up in time. So we prepare well by setting the alarm, don't we? So that we arrive on time. Because punctuality says this is important. Arrive on time as well so you're not a distraction to other people. So you don't miss out yourself on the first few minutes of the service. So by being on time, you know what it's like in the workplace. Someone's constantly late at work. It doesn't go down well, does it? By being on time, it makes a statement of priority. Especially if you're a late sort of person, and there are late sort of people in life, aren't there? And they really wind up the on-time people. And the late people get wound up with the on-time people because they're so uptight about everything. Relax and chill out a bit more. We're different. It's wonderful how God's made us. But if you are a late person, let your efforts at punctuality for Sunday speak of your value of the church gathering. I told you it was practical, didn't I? Okay, we're still in the before section. You're up in time. It's Sunday. What do you wear? Do I dress up for church? Do I wear what I like? Whatever I like. Why might it be a good thing to dress up for church? What does it say? Does it help recognize and respect the specialness of the gathering before God? A bit like visiting a king. Does the occasion call for a dress code when we come here? Well, it doesn't really work when we're the king's children, does it? And we aren't coming to church to meet Jesus either. He's with us, isn't he? Actually, we're coming to meet one another. Of course, we're coming to be with Jesus. He's with us. But we're coming to be together before Jesus. And the Bible says we ought not to dress up for one another. 1 Peter 3:3, it's clear we should not have displays of adornment. And we certainly shouldn't in any way be making ourselves an object, dressing in a way that causes others to stumble. That is a no-no. So do we dress down for church? Are rags better than kind of refinery, if you like? Or is it best to wear clothes that we're just comfortable in? That don't distract or detract, all eyes on Jesus, not on us. The principle, Paul sets this out, doesn't he, in the New Testament, is love. He says anything is permissible, you're free in Christ, but what about your brother and sister? Is everything helpful? We need to run our thoughts through that filter, don't we? And also, there's differing views on how we dress for church. We don't fall out over it. It is secondary. Thirdly, or whatever it is. Okay, church, we're out the door for church. I'm sorry, the last points are shorter, by the way. We're still before church. We're out the door, we've dressed non-distractingly, and so in peace, we make our way to church. Well, actually, I don't know if your experience is similar, but we need to be ready for difficulty on Sunday mornings. I think the devil loves to make us grumpy before church. He feeds our nature so well. And my experience, he makes lots of last-minute attempts, either to stop you getting there or to get you there in the wrong frame of mind. So we need to be aware of that, don't we? And prayerful about that. But let me exhort you, that is encourage, urge, resolve to come to church each week. Make it a non-negotiable in your life. Make it that the sun has to literally stand still before you don't come to church. Because we know what it's like. You miss something, you miss a few, it's just very easy, isn't it? You just miss more and more. We're commanded, Hebrews 10, not to neglect meeting together, but to encourage one another. Now, of course, some of us have jobs, and we work on Sundays, and the nature of the task is that is the case. Great. Go to work, and work for the glory of the Lord. But find another time. The midweek meeting, make that a priority. The evening services we'll talk about in a moment. Make those times a priority. And if you can change your hours, great. You might not be able to. But gathering the church family is important. Now, this past year, of course, has been exceptional. But now we can meet together. And we are looking to get evening services back up and running. We're not going a whole hog at the moment. But let me encourage you, fight, and it is a fight, to get back into the cycle of church life quickly as you can. For God's glory, for the good of the whole church, and for your good. Give the whole day to God. Do we think there'll be any regrets come heaven? I don't think so. Okay, we've got to church. Let's go to during church. Like I say, the points do come a bit quicker. It's a long build-up to church, wasn't it? You've prepared. You've arrived. Now you're at church. What happens? And why does it happen? Well, we praise together. We sing together. We pray together. We read the Bible together. We listen to the Bible together. These are all acts of worship together. Because by them we fix on God. We also exercise faith, don't we? And we humble ourselves before him. It is worship. First of all, singing. It has always been an important part of the worship of God's people. To sing praise to God. The Spirit puts a song in his people's mouths. A sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Hebrews 13. It is grace working in us that drives us to sing with joy. And singing of the grace of God unifies us. Every country has a song, don't they? Groups have songs. Churches sing. We are bound together more and more as we sing of the grace. So we sing God exalting, Son glorifying songs together. And we sing to teach and to admonish one another with, as we're told in Colossians, psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. Singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. That's where true praise comes from. From the heart we make music. Ephesians 5 tells us. Which means, if the songs are all about the tune and nothing about truth, we might actually be belting out a song but not actually praising, because our hearts need to be attached to the truth and joy in it and wonder in it. On the subject of belting out songs, let's talk about that for a minute. We don't get to talk about this stuff normally, do we? So I thought I'd take the opportunity. Let me encourage you, if you can. Some people have very weak voices and problems with their throat. But if you can, let me encourage you to lift your voice when we sing. No matter what. Or no matter how you sound. Sing up. He's telling me what to do. I'm advising you. I'm encouraging you. Let me give an example. I love sporting occasions when they sing the national anthems. I don't suspect the players especially like singing and having a camera right in their face as they sing. But I love it. But I don't feel the love when the player in shot is barely singing. They may be overwhelmed with the occasion. You look for the glisten in the eye. Sometimes you wonder if they know the words at all, don't you? But then when the camera keeps going down the line and it comes to one who is belting it out, well, you know, and then they're singing loudly the national anthem, regardless of the close-up, the camera here, and their own singing ability. The rugby guys are particularly fun, aren't they? Oh, sorry. What does it say to you, though, when you see that? You, the supporter. What's the effect on you, on me? I feel the passion. I feel encouraged. It's infectious when you see that. When we all sing up, we encourage one another. When we don't, we don't. And we all get quieter. As Tony says in the book, if a visitor walked in to church and saw you singing, well, a bit different with masks at the moment, but you get the idea, would they think you believe what you're declaring? Does it look authentic? And we want the answer to be yes, don't we? Not only am I in my heart attached, and yes, I do believe what I'm singing, but I am actually singing. And I'm encouraging my brothers and sisters around me. Enough on singing. We also pray together. So throughout the book of Acts, we see the apostles being devoted to prayer. And the reason that's good is because through prayer we exercise faith. We throw ourselves on independency upon God, don't we? We glorify Him when we pray. We pray to take hold of God. Not so much, of course, what we could get from God, but more of God Himself. And one person might be praying aloud, maybe me at the front, someone else at the front in the prayer meeting, someone else is praying, and how do you join in? I don't know about you, but it can be easy to go to sleep in those moments, can't it? Particularly if it's a long prayer. We join in with the prayer in our hearts, and we join in with an amen at the end. An amen at the end is good. We're British, we're Grace Baptist. We struggle, Jacob helps us, keep going, but we join in with an amen because it encourages the prayer. But it's not about their ego or encouragement necessarily, it encourages everyone around. Yes, amen, we agree this together. But let me encourage you with your amens. Amen. Thank you. Yes, we didn't set that up, I promise you. Some of the best meetings, personally speaking, are the prayer meetings. I'll tell you why the prayer meetings out there are the best. Because the fellowship is closer. You may feel this in small groups more as well. It's often closer fellowship. Easy to sit in church, listen, leave. But the prayer meetings are special. Let me exhort you personally to come and pray at the prayer meetings. Resolve to make the prayer meetings a priority this academic year. The TV can wait. You can pause on all sorts these days, can't you? Your bed will still be there. Okay, let's hope. Let's have 40 at the prayer meeting by the end of this year. Some of you have sort of stopped, and we're in a weird situation, and I'm not picking on people who are still struggling, okay? So please bear with me on that. But some of you, you know, you used to come to the prayer meeting, you sort of stopped. Well, come back. And those who've never come, come to the prayer meeting. Let's see new faces. Let us as one body call on our Heavenly Father together. That is what we want, isn't it? If we want blessing as a church, and I assume we do, I know we do, then let's gather to pray. It is what we need. Prayer meetings, Tuesdays. Listening. From the beginning, Genesis 1, it's all been about God's word. He spoke everything into existence. And from the beginning of his chosen people, he spoke into existence through Abraham, there has been the preaching of God's word. Because God's word is a word to be declared. So we come to church to listen to the declaration of God's word. God has spoken. His creatures need to know and hear what he says. So part of our worship is to listen, mouths closed, ears open, God center stage. That is just what we need. It's actually one of God's big gifts to us, isn't it? He gives his word. We contribute nothing, but in our great need, we are filled by his word. Preaching of God's word is important, and it's what we need. And when we listen, we ought to listen at great points in here. I'm just going to mention sort of three of his points, four maybe. We need to listen humbly, because it's God speaking. Don't worry about who's preaching. So long as they're preaching the Bible, of course, but it's God glorifying and Christ exalting messages. That's what we need to hear. So we listen humbly because it's God. Listen attentively. 30 minutes. About there now. I'm on the last page. Trust me. 30 minutes shouldn't seem long when we're so used to watching the TV for so long. But if it is, because the TV is more entertaining, then we might maybe take notes to stay on track. If it helps you. I personally do, I'm listening. I love taking notes. It just keeps me on track. Otherwise I drift. Listen attentively, listen humbly, listen eagerly. So again, this is about prep, isn't it? Beforehand, read the passage, pray the passage, and then come and listen eagerly. Hungry. This is about being needy. I need to hear God's word. I want to receive. I know I need God's word. I'm going to listen with everything I've got. I'm going to listen as if this is the most important thing in my week. What is he going to say to me today? That's what we want to come to church and say. So he says as well, listen personally. Now this is a close to home one, isn't it? Because it can be really easy to listen and think, oh, I don't know how that applies to that, sorry, not pointing at you, Anne, to that person. We can easily think, oh yes, I'm so glad my husband's here to hear this. Or we might listen and think, oh, the preacher's just off today or whatever. But the question is, are we listening for ourselves? Are we coming needy? God, show me, speak to me what I need to listen. It's okay to be selfish this moment when we're listening. It's good to be. Right, I better press on with the after, because it really is nearly after church time now. Okay, so I'm nearly finished. What about after the service, okay? The service is finished, and then we have a moment, then we will have it in a moment as well, where we sit, and it's just a moment of quiet after the last hymn, prayer, and we've got that quiet moment to pray. That is good to pray. Just take a moment of quiet, thanking the Lord, maybe picking up on a main point that got you. But in that moment of quiet, let me encourage you to beware taking that pause to boom, out the door, shoot off. Now, we all sometimes need to get somewhere, don't we? And some of us will do it in a minute, so don't feel bad, okay? But what if we all just disappeared quickly after church every week? What would it be like? It would be weird, wouldn't it? Turn up, sit down, and then all just leave. Let me encourage you, okay? Stay behind if you can. Rearrange your schedule so you can, if you can. And chat to people. Tea and coffee will be back. We'll talk about it on Tuesday. We need volunteers to help serve tea and coffee. That's something you can do. And we will talk together over tea and coffee. We'll do it today without the tea and coffee. Get someone in the church and talk to them. Lone Ranger Christianity is not a thing. There isn't such a thing. Close family fellowship is. So after church, get sharing life with someone. Talk to someone. Especially about what we've spoken, you know, maybe what the Lord's spoken to you in the service. That is a great thing. I don't know about you, but I feel bad if I suddenly go to football with someone after the service. And I'm right to feel bad. Because the Lord's just spoken to me, and I'm like, okay, thanks, Lord. And I'm on with the rest of my life. There's a minister in London, he won't have anyone say anything to him about anything other than the service after the church service. William Taylor, St Helens Bishopsgate. If you go there, beware. He don't want it. He said, you know, let's talk about church. He's onto something. He's being a bit harsh, but he's onto something, isn't he? It ought to be us. Grab someone. Not literally at the moment. And if there's a person on their own, you look around. That is a tragedy if there's someone on their own. Go to them. Your friends can wait. Go to the people on their own. Go to the person. Don't just talk to the usual suspects. Talk to someone you don't know. Find a cousin in the church family. Maybe someone you normally just nod at, or you don't really talk to, or haven't spoken to in a while, and speak to them. And eventually, when you do get home, at some point, let me encourage you, pray, think over what you've heard, what you've experienced at church, the words, the needs, back maybe, that were mentioned. Maybe send a message of encouragement to someone. This is kind of how to follow up after church. You know, hey, I heard this verse at church today, or I was really encouraged by this. Encourage one another. Let the word settle in you at home, in prayer, and reading the passage again maybe, or reading of your notes if you take notes. And let the word spread from you as well. Let it go out. Be a messenger of that word to go out. Okay, for this to happen today, I need to shut up, don't I? I'm going to do that now. I'm just going to put on the screen, because every chapter he puts some action steps. I'm just going to put some of his action steps that are slightly adapted for us to just be quiet and ponder over. So recognise your need of the church and the church's need of you. Prioritise, make church gathering a priority in your life or in your home. Leaders of households. Joshua, be a Joshua. Specialise. Oh, actually, I didn't mention this, but on the Sunday, what other things can you do on Sunday? Or what other things maybe should you not be doing on Sunday to make the Lord's Day set apart? Maybe you could be having people for lunch more. Maybe you should have a nap, literally a day of rest, because you're a pretty full-on person. Maybe you could have a particular prayer time as a family on Sunday. Just mark the day as different for the Lord. So as couples or in your house, okay, Sunday, let's just pray together about this, that and the other. Maybe things you shouldn't do on a Sunday, maybe put the phone down more. Yeah, put yourself on an hour restriction or whatever. And maybe ban online shopping for yourself Sundays. It's so easy, isn't it? What habits can we adopt to help make the day of rest for the Lord?